The book of Judges, chapter 13, if you'll turn with me. We do thank you for being here today, and we ask God to bless you being in the house of the Lord. Verse 17 of Judges chapter 13. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass that when the flame went up toward the heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. And then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all the things that are, nor would it at this time have told us such things as these." And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew. And the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Would you pray with me now? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today. Use me, Lord, this day as a voice of your love to minister to this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, look your neighbor right in the eye and say, "Hey, God wants you this morning to hear him." I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments, and hey, we might be out by 12 since there's food in the bag. Might not also, but I was told this morning if I kept talking about my watch, I could tap and make run backwards. I was going to get a new watch that would open up and be a big stopwatch or a pocket watch that I could read real well. You know, I want to talk to you about the high cost of low living. You know, some people are born with all kind of privileges, with many advantages in life, and they can't seem to find success. Then the others that are the opposite, they're born with nothing and rise to be very successful in this world. I think Samson probably was an actual picture of the first. He was born in a nice home in a good time. It was a very special time for Israel's history. Seven times the nation of Israel rebelled against God and gone into apostasy. And this time it's the Philistines, which God has used to punish them, Israel, for 40 years. And, you know, that was their worst enemy. And all of a sudden, this guy Samson comes along. Now, notice this. The word Samson simply means sunshine. So all of a sudden, here's the dark hour of Israel, and God sends them a little sunshine to help them out. Amen. Now, church, notice Israel did create the problem that they have. But now, all of a sudden, this guy Samson comes along. And notice this. He's a Nazarite, which means he has a vow that he must keep to keep what his obligation is with God. He makes a vow to God. One of the vows of a Nazarite is they do not cut their hair. You say, well, that's not a big thing. It is when you consider that according to the law, a man with long hair was to be despised. So therefore, he was to wear his hair and everybody would know he was a Nazarite. Everybody was going to know he made a pledge to God. And so now he's walking around with this pledge. He's got it going. His pledge is, "I'll keep it." And God says, "If you'll do this, I am going to bless you." Because of the vow, God gave him strength. Amen. I never forget one time years ago, I was standing in Coker. Y'all may not understand this, but in the old country places, at grocery stores, everybody's kind of hang around noon. And I'd go down there and get on a Coke crate. Y'all ain't gonna know what that is unless you're over about 40 or 50 years old. Cokes used to come in a wooden crate. And they'd take those crates after they put the drinks in a drink box. They'd set the crates over on the side for you to put the empty bottles in. You didn't throw them away because there's glass. And we'd go down there and you just flip one of them crates up, it's perfect to sit on. And the guys from the sawmill would come down and eat lunch. Of course, lunch was always vein of sausage or potted meat and crackers, and sometimes sardines if they had a little extra money. And we'd sit around talking. I know the fella owned the sawmill. He would come down there and sit with us. We'd all be sitting around laughing, cutting them. Dude, come in one day, he was selling honeybee pollen. Any of y'all remember that? It was supposed to be the food of gods, I believe is what he said. He said, oh, yeah, I said, it'll make your hair grow. Now, back then I had hair, but he acted like I needed it to grow. He said, you need some of this. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you know, Samson had long hair, and said, that's because he eat a lot of honey. And said, you know, that's where his strength came from. I said, no, sir, it didn't. He said, what are you talking about? I said, his strength didn't come from his hair. It came from his vow. The hair was part of the vow, but this hair wasn't what gave him his strength. He said, you're crazy. He said, when they cut his hair off, he didn't have his strength. I said, that's because he broke his vow. He said, you couldn't prove that if you wanted to. I said, I probably could have had a Bible. He said, well, there ain't one around, is there? I said, well, I just happened to have one in my back pocket. I never forget the guy running a sawmill, looked at me, he said, this is going to be good. I handed it to him. I said, now, if you can show me where he got his strength from his hair. I said, I'll tell you what I do. I'll buy all that honeybee pollen you got, and I'll give you $100 extra. Don't got run the thing. Mr. Woody looked up, Mr. Sarton, Woody Sarton, he looked up and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll double that if you can find that in there. A couple preachers said, it ain't in there. You know what? It wasn't long. They started talking about his hair, and I said, look at it. Read over here. And I started showing him. I said, in the 16th chapter, when he's praying for something to happen, he didn't say, God, make my hair grow. He said, Lord, one more time, let me feel your spirit. If you find when the lion came on him, it said the spirit of God came on him also. And he slew the lion, not in the power of his hair, but through the power of the spirit. Amen. When he tore the gates off the city, it was under the anointing of the spirit. When he slew 1,000 Philistines, it was under the anointing of the spirit. When he finally pushed down the pillars of the temple, it was because the spirit of God came on him. It was not his hair. His hair was his vow. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? If you make a vow with God, you need to do that. But can I tell you something? Samson did not look like a bodybuilder. So, well, wait a minute, preacher, what makes you know that? Because everybody was trying to figure out where his strength come from. I mean, the guy walks in here and looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. You ain't got to figure out where his strength come from. You know, if he's standing there and got muscles bigger than me, you pretty much know he's a stout fella. But this guy was just a normal-looking dude till the Spirit of God hit him, and then he went to wearing stuff out. And everybody's going, where does his strength come from? What's the secret of his strength? You know what? He didn't have a strong-looking body, but I'm going to tell you, he had a strong mind. He was full of wit. He was full of humor. He was full of the love of God. Amen. And that's why he went from zero to being a hero. Amen. Because he let God bless him and he let God touch him. Could you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God, he was bold before men, but weak before women. That was a problem he had. He had the Spirit of God upon him, but lived in the appetite of the flesh. He was called upon to declare war upon the enemies of God, but many times he found himself fraternizing with the enemies instead of doing the Lord's battle. He was all the time battling his own problems. Can I tell you that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the church today? We've got something we could be doing for God, but we spend all our time battling with the things of ourselves instead of getting in what God wants us to do, and instead of standing up to the enemy, we find ourselves finding ways to get along with the enemy. Come on, church. Amen. I think today we call it political correctness. Can I tell you there ain't no such word as political correctness in the Word of God? There is God's way and there's the highway, and there ain't no in between. Could you say amen to that, church? Glory. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. If you'd told Samson in the beginning of his life that he'd end up the way that he did, he probably would have told you it couldn't happen. Can I tell you that right where you're sitting, there's three people sitting there? Yeah. There is the person you are now. There's the person you could be for God. And there's the person you could be if you turn away from God. Hello? And believe me, they are not the same person. God can take somebody and do great things with them, no matter who they are. But he can also, if you lose and get away from God, you can be used of the devil to do a lot in the church world to tear things down and mess things up. Samson did end his life with a good report, but the price he paid for the life that he lived was very high. Amen. He ended up good. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 11 says about him. Verse 32. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and of Japheth, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms with righteousness, or wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. What it basically says is Samson was in the hall of fame of God because he eventually turned back to God. Can I tell you the great thing about Samson's story? He may have been a man that started out on the wrong foot, but he got both feet under him at the right time, and he prayed through, and because of that, he got a glowing report from God that in the end, he was where he needed to be. Could you say amen? First of all, I wanted to point out some things that happened to Samson. Number one, Samson dishonored his parents. In Judges chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up, told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. The first step to a downward spiral is when you dishonor your parents. Hello? If your parents tell you something, you ought to be able to put your hand on it and say, that's good. Hello? Somebody said, well, if your parents aren't Christians, they still your parents. As long as they ain't leading you away from God, you got to honor them. Come on, church, not yet. I had a woman tell me one time, my husband, not a Christian, ain't pay attention to what he said. I said, that ain't what the Bible said. Said, as long as he ain't trying to lead you away from God, you're supposed to pay attention to what he says so that you can help lead him to the Lord. Come on. Come on, church. I don't know why it's getting quiet. That's good preaching. I might need to just stop right here a while. Amen. But now notice, the Bible tells us he dishonored his mother and father. He went to them and said, I don't want to marry anybody from around here. I want to marry one of the Philistines. I want to marry one of them women of the ungodly people I'm supposed to be fighting against. I'm going to hook up with her. And his daddy said, son, can't you find anybody? The first step to a downward journey. He had godly parents. He pleaded with him to do right and avoid the unequal yoke, but he wouldn't listen. They set up the wedding. Notice the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus 20 and 12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Samson dishonored his father and mother, thumbed his nose in the face of his parents, and he died young. I used to tell my kids, honor your father and mother, or you die quick. Hello? And then I'd always quote them that other scripture, whatsoever the hand find to do, do it with all your might. Secondly, Samson deserted his promise. He took the Nazarite vow, but he deserted the promise. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against them. Amen. He went down in a geological term, but the truth of the matter is, when he began to walk away from God, he began to go down. Any of y'all ever read the story of Jonah? You ever notice the Bible said Jonah went down to the shipyard, but if you look on a map, he went north? You ever notice the Bible said he went down into the ship, and then he went down into the ocean? Amen. And then he went down into the whale? Somebody going to see me at church say, what in the whale? It's a great fish. I hope you do. Because I'm going to turn you to Matthew chapter 12, and the guy that worked on that fish says a whale. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That's what Jesus said. Since he worked on it, you ought to know what he worked on. Since he created him. And somebody goes, well, in Jonah, it says great fish. I can't help it if the monk messed up. Well, that monk didn't mess up. Then why did the same word get translated in Genesis 1, great whale? Well, is it that important? Yes, because a fish is not a mammal. A whale is. It's built different. And they're flying fish. They ain't flying whales. Now, I'm going to leave that and let somebody ask me what that meant, because that's some exciting stuff. I'll go ahead and tell you. How'd that whale get from the Mediterranean to where it was in 3 days unless it flew? There was no water inlet for it to swim through. It couldn't go around the continent of Africa that fast. So somehow that whale went from the Mediterranean to the sea over in the Tigris River to speed him up by Nineveh. See, everybody thinks the miracle of Jonah and the whale was the whale swallowed him. Ain't a big deal. God made the whale where he could swallow him. Let's face it. A blue whale weighs 100 tons. As big as this building almost. He had plenty of room. He's on a submarine ride. They got me something else was a miracle took place. See, y'all sitting there going, preacher, you're crazy. Read your Bible. Well, we're not on Jonah. No, we're talking about another guy that starts running from God, going against God's word for his life. And what's happened to him? It says he went down to Timnath. He got down to Timnath to the vineyard, and he goes to looking for a woman. And now he's selling out his purpose. He's losing the place God wants him to have in this world. He's getting to that place where he's not supposed to be and doing the little things he's not supposed to do. And somebody said, well, preacher, it's just a little thing. But didn't the Bible say it is the little foxes that spoil the vine? It is the little things you don't think about that begin to build up and become the big things that suddenly become a wall between you and God. And you're walking on thinking everything's fine. The next thing you know, there's no joy left in the relationship. You got to ask yourself, do I go to church this morning or next week? Or you just all of a sudden say, I'm just not going back anymore, and there's no peace in your heart, and you go to bed at night worrying if you're going to die before you give up. But can I tell you, there is a place where you can get with God where God will restore the joy of your salvation and put a joy and a song in your heart no matter where you've gone to get away from him. Samson reminds me a lot of Lot, who started out right but ended up in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally ended up committing incest with his daughters and producing two countries that have been very bad for the whole world. Hello? See, there are consequences to when you mess up. The deeper you go in sin, the blinder you get. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching. Samson distorted his purpose. Judges 14, 10 through 14. So that his father went down to the woman, and Samson made their feast, so they used the young men to do. And it came to pass that when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with them. And Samson said to him, I'll put forth a riddle to you. Now, church, any of y'all's never read the story, I need to back up and tell you. When he killed the lion, he pulled his jaws apart. You bad and you can do that. He goes back a few months later and he finds this lion laying there, and some bees have built a hive in him. And he reaches in and gets honey out and eats it. So he puts a riddle to the guys at the feast. And listen to what he tells them. He said, now if you can answer this riddle, I'm going to give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And he said to them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Man, these guys are trying to figure it out. This is his wedding. All the guests are Philistines. He's hanging with the wrong crowd. Hello? Listen to what Proverbs said, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. All of a sudden, we get to the 15th verse. Samson's been holding on. Them guys can't come up with the answer to the riddle. And it came to pass the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Samson's wife cried. Hello? Man, this guy can whip 1,000 men and one woman bawling just breaks him down. Some of you guys sitting there going, wouldn't happen to me. She goes to cry and said, these guys go burn my daddy's house. He said, there ain't no big deal. I killed a lion, and out of the lion came the honey. And she tells the guys. So they give him the answer to the riddle. And Samson gets all upset. He turns around to the and he says to the men. He finally gets to them and said, you wouldn't have known this answer if you hadn't plowed with my heifer. I got a note on here. Calling your wife a heifer is a big mistake. Glory. I didn't do that, Freda. I was just reading the scripture. Glory. But he said, you've got my wife off to the side. That's how you found us out. And without that, you wouldn't know it. So he goes out and he robs 30 guys of their sheets and their clothes and takes them back and gives them to the dudes. Now, his guy's already in trouble, but he just goes on and does some more. I mean, once you're down here, you might as well keep running. Hello? That's what most people figure. Once I messed up, why turn around? Notice this. God gives us good gifts and abilities, but Samson prostituted everything God gave him to use for his own benefit. Samson defiled his purity. It keeps getting worse. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you plan to stay, and it'll cost you more than you ever planned on it costing. Judges chapter 16, then Samson went to Gaza, and he saw there a harlot, and he went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay until midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder to carry them up to the top of the hill before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman of the valley of Shurik, which was Delilah. I mean, here's a guy ain't got enough trouble. He's going to go get some more. And he falls in love with this lady named Delilah. Listen to what Proverbs tells us in chapter 5. I don't know who this is for, but I just put this in here. It said, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold in hell. I could change that, but that's what the word says, but it could also say, for the lips of a strange man. Hello? You ever notice the devil will never show you the end story? Oh, you ride down the road, you see the billboard, some dude standing there with a fancy car and two or three good-looking women with a beer in his hand. Why don't they show a billboard with a tore-up car and body parts laying everywhere saying, drink our beer, this could happen to you. Huh? You know, you always see the commercial with a dude with a Marlboro out in the country riding a horse, having a great time. Why don't they show a guy dying of lung cancer, his mouth eat up? Talking about, this is what's going to happen if you smoke our stuff. There's never truth in anything you hear from the advertising companies, but you ever notice this? Sin's never going to tell you the truth. It's not going to show you what's at the end of the road. It's going to show you what's going along. Notice this. Sin has a blinding, desensitizing effect. Listen to what Proverbs 6 said. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. For a wound and dishonor shall he get, and the reproach shall not be wiped away. See, there's a difference between some sins and others. Sexual sins keep going. What are you talking about, preacher? David got forgiveness. But his family rolled in the problems he caused when he lay with another man's wife. Not only did the baby die, but he's got another son, raped his own sister, and another killed him for doing it. Then he finally had to kill that boy for trying to overthrow him. David's life was total turmoil the rest of the time of the outcry of what happened when he thought he was going to have a good time. Come on, church. And no matter how hard you try, sometimes you got to understand the consequences of sin continue even after you stop, unless there's forgiveness. And even in forgiveness sometimes, the young lady in my home church at Buell, wild as a bat. Y'all need an explanation? That's even after church. That's just no country term. Man, she didn't have no scruples at all. She run around the bars, went home with anybody to go with her. She finally met a young man. They got married, got in church, got saved, started coming to church. He got sick. She had to take him to the emergency room one night. His stroke was killing him. They got out there and they run some tests. The doc come back in. He said, I got bad news or worse news. He said, what are you talking about? He said, either you got tuberculosis or you got AIDS. Turned out the young man had AIDS. He died about 6-7 weeks later. She's been HIV positive ever since, taking all kind of medicine, trying to survive and live. And no matter that she got forgiveness, the problems of her birth of sin in her life are continually controlling and destroying her joy even to this day. Amen. You say, preacher, you're making it sad. I'm just telling you the truth. Samson diluted his power. He's sitting in Delilah's hair salon, letting her fix his hair. And the first thing he says, well, now if you braid it with a certain type of string, it'll take away my power. She braids him up real good. All of a sudden, she said, the Philistines are on you. And he jumps up and just kills every one of them. She said, you tore him on me. He says, okay, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't really with them green wreaths, but you tie my hair in locks. Just, you know, weave it up. It'll be okay. She weaves it up, said, the Philistines are on you. And he jumps up and goes, killed all them. Now she's real distraught. Well, you just making fun of me. And he caves in and he tells her, I'm a Nazarite. I have a vow with God. If I break that vow, I'm going to lose all my power. She said, really? What's that vow? He said, I promised God I'd never cut my hair. So it could be something that simple. You promised God that if you pass it up, you're messed up. She shaves his head. He wakes up, hair gone. He don't think a thing about it. He's looking at it going, you know, this is modern. I'm looking good. I don't have to worry about what shampoo. I just use Mop and Glow, and I got it made. And about that time, she said, the Philistines are upon you. And the Bible said he jumped up and shook himself as in the past, because he wist not that the Spirit of God had withdrawn from you. Can I tell you, there are people under the sound of my voice this morning that you don't have a clue that God has withdrawn from you because of things in your life, because you've been able to carry on almost like you used to, and you think because you got away with it, it's okay. God's not going to hold it against me. But can I tell you, God can't help but hold sin against you, because that's what he sent his son to die, that he'd get rid of the sin in our lives. And if we let sin take over our lives, it'll destroy us. See, I told you a while ago, sin was blinding. Samson ends up being sport for the Philistines. They put out his eyes. They got him grinding their meal. He's pushing a grinding wheel around. Finally, one day they say, hey, bring an old blind dude in here now and see how bad he is. Because I know they ain't forgot about him taking the jawbone of a dead donkey and killing 1,000 of them. And all of a sudden, he gets into the back corner, and they get him over there, and they're making sport out of him. They're having a big time because there's the great Samson. We got him. Thousands have come to see it. He's out there, and finally they decide to take a little break, concession stand, so folks can go buy them some popcorn and stuff, or whatever they had for concessions back then. And he gets over by the pillow, and the young man's leading him around. He said, would you put my hands on the pillow that I can rest? And he put his hands on the pillow, and he kind of bowed himself up a little bit, and he said, God, one more time, would you touch me with your spirit? See, I believe he prayed a repentant prayer and said, God, I want to feel you one more time in my life before I die. And the Bible said when he pushed the pillows, the strength of God hit him and those pillows fell. The entire building crumbled around them. And the Bible said he killed more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. His purpose was founded again before he passed away from this world, but he lost it for a while. Can I tell you today, I really feel like God had put this on my heart to preach to somebody who's lost out with some things in your life. And maybe you've been running through the motions and thinking everything's okay. But I hope somehow to shake you up and make you realize that if there's sin that is in your life that's not confessed to God, it's between you and Him. And can I tell you, God's not going to hear you pray about things in this world until you repent of the sin that's in your heart. Because God's more concerned about your salvation than anything else that's ever going to happen in your life or my life. But if we repent, he said, I stand at the door and I knock. He said, preacher, that's the sinners. No, he said, to the church, right? You've shut me out of your life, but I'm standing here because I'm ready to come back in. And if you'll open the door, I'll come in unto you. Would you stand with me all over the house? I believe with all my heart, God is ready to touch somebody this morning, whoever you are. you've played with your relationship with God for some reason, way, shape, form, or fashion. Maybe you even come to the place where you're still doing what you've always done and you don't even realize that God's really not in your life like He wants to be, like He needs to be, because you've put things between you and Him. And I know there are preachers that would stand here today and tell you, don't worry about it. No matter what you do, you're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. I'm sorry, folks, but the Bible says something in plain black and white, kind of eats that up. No sin shall enter in to heaven. Oh, but you see, I got saved. But I got black and white against that too. I know you got saved. Hebrews 10:26 said, if a man willfully sin, after he come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for that sin. Black and white, that's not doctrine, that's scripture. It simply says, if you mess up, you got to do what? Repent till your first work's over. Go back by way of the cross. Get Jesus back where He needs to be in your life. And what's going to happen when you do that? He's going to restore unto you the joy. David's prayer was, oh God, cast me not away, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What a comeback David made. What a comeback Samson made. So that's what these stories are all about. It's not about somebody messing up. It's about a God that's forgiving. He says, I know you're going to mess up, but when you do, you got an advocate with the Father, and He's going to bring you back, and He's going to put you there where you need to be. See, it's not a shame to realize you're not praying like you ought to. It's not a shame to realize you're not reading your Bible like you ought to, because everybody in this building that's honest will have to admit it's happened to them. It's not a shame to say, look, I messed up, because everybody in this building, once they got saved, have messed up sometime in their life as a Christian if they've lived very long. And they've had to repent. What's a crying shame is when you stand there going, well, it's not really that big of a deal. I don't need to deal with it. And you leave it alone and go further and further away from God until one day you don't even realize He's gone. You don't even realize you've lost it. You're so numb to conviction, it doesn't bother you anymore. You've gone so much into that sleep and that dream world that Jesus comes by like He did the disciples in the garden and says, sleep on. Sleep on. I believe He sent me here this morning to shake some of you today. And I need to ask you, are you really where you need to be with God? It's just a little too costly to let it go. Father, I thank You today for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your power, for Your grace. Because it's by that grace we all find peace that passes all understanding. God, I commend this congregation into Your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Jesus, touch us with Your glory. Touch us with Your fire. Spirit of the living God, have Your way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.